Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Did you know that other than back pain, headaches are the most common reason that we end up going and seeing a doctor? Did you know that headaches are one of the most difficult things for a doctor to be able to diagnose? Because they really don't fit into any kind of standard symptomology that they can connect with the illness itself. You know, those little diagnostic boxes that the doctors look at. Did you know that from my perspective, that all headaches start in the stomach and have to do with a lot of different causes, but primarily it has to do with the pH in the body. It has to do with the third chakra. And then also, did you know that headaches come in many forms? So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Thanks for joining me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is on headaches and the hidden meanings behind them. And what I'm going to be doing is sharing as a medical intuitive how I see headaches energetically and how it maps in the chakra system itself, and then talking about headaches in general. And then the last part of the show, I'm going to be offering some suggestions of what you can do to be able to eliminate headaches if you have one, or things that you can do to be able to prevent headaches from happening. I'm going to be talking about migraines as well as tension cluster and some of the other headaches. The interesting part that I find that I shared when I first opened was, as a medical intuitive, I find headaches in the third chakra. That's in the solar plexus area, the stomach, pH, and so forth, that kind of important corridor of who we are. When you go to a doctor, what a doctor is going to do, especially if you have reoccurring headaches, they're going to go in and do a MRI, or they're going to go in and do different testing to find out and make sure that you don't have any kind of neurological disorders. And what they're going to do is they're going to run all these diagnostic tests on you, come back and say, you know, we couldn't find anything. Well, from my standpoint as a medical intuitive, the reason they can't is that they're really looking in the wrong place. And so that's one of the most important things I'd like to share with you today. I'm also going to be taking your calls and answering questions about your health. So if you have any questions, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That's in the U.S. and Canada. I don't want to give you the wrong number, 877-230-3062. I really would like to be able to talk to you. I also want to invite you to attend my teleclass tomorrow night. It's going to be at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's June 25th, and 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the topic is going to be on fibromyalgia. And it's one of those mysterious illnesses that, frankly, medicine still looks at being psychosomatic, meaning in your head. Well, they're partially right that it is in your head, because it has to do with the chemistry in the brain itself. But it isn't something just because you're having a bad day or you're depressed or something that's tied to maybe some emotional traumas and so forth. So a lot of research that is coming up, and I'm going to be sharing some of the new developments also that's linking fibromyalgia with candida. So if you're interested in attending the class, then you can register online at www.ritberger.com. If you don't have fibromyalgia but you have a friend that does, I encourage you to also be able to share the information with them. It'll be a very enlightening show. And then also how I see it energetically. One of the things I try to do, as you know, both from my radio shows and with my teleclasses and anything that I do around health and the well-being of the body, is to give you a comprehensive picture, kind of like a radiologist. And in doing so, then it doesn't make any difference really where you start to tackle the hidden contributors or the issues or the symptomology around the ailment that I'm talking about. And because what will happen is, as soon as you change one thing, then something else in the body is going to change. And then it'll help the body remember how healing occurs and that it does have the ability to heal itself. So again, that's teleclass tomorrow night on fibromyalgia, June 25th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. If you can't make it, I've got audio downloads and then also a printout on fibromyalgia. So headaches actually come in many forms, and those many forms are part of the process of why it's so difficult for people, for doctors to be able to really diagnose it as being a headache or coming in and trying to find out what kind of a headache it is. Some of the different headaches, there's actually six different types of headaches that we're susceptible to. The simple headache, and that's the one where we get that hammering or the buzzing, or we feel like we can feel our heart beating at the top of our head. The causes of that are stress and sensitivity to weather. People who suffer from SAD, seasonal attention disorder, tend to have a lot of simple headaches. High blood pressure can cause it as well. And then actually lack of oxygen to the brain. Now that can be because there's some kind of neurological inhibitor that's happening in the brain, but also we're prone to simple headaches when we just get into that stress state where doggone we hold our breath and the brain needs to have that. Also, there's certain infectious diseases such as a head cold, viral diseases more than anything else, or viruses can cause a simple headache. Then, of course, there's the one that I'm sure that we have all experienced to some degree, and that's the tension headache. That's that dull headache that kind of, it's oppressive, and we can feel the pulsing actually in the temples on each side of the head itself. And these headaches usually begin in the back of the head, more vascular or tension. And then what it does is it spreads up the back of the head to the front of the head and then into the forehead. A lot of the causes for these headaches can be muscular tension. And specifically for the green personality, that personality, their weak side is in their shoulders. And any time they get into a compromised or a potentially conflict situation, they're going to get those knots in the muscles. And one of the first things that they will experience as a result of that is a tension headache. If you don't know your personality color, you can go to my website. I have a little mini assessment on there. It doesn't give you the full details, but you can go in and you can basically respond to a series of statements, very, very short, and voila, you become a personality color. Then there's something called cluster headaches. Cluster headaches are headaches that kind of are created in a sequence, meaning that you'll get maybe a tension headache and then the headache will then evolve into this cluster headache. And these cluster headaches usually tend to happen two or more times a day. And unlike a tension headache that we could rub out, or even maybe an aspirin would be able to help us, an Advil or something like that would help us to be able to relax and release the tension. In the case of cluster headaches, they can last for a longer period of time. And what they do is the cluster headache is that piercing, kind of that burning pain, that shooting pain that you get. This headache usually affects one side of the head and always reoccurs in the same place. The cause of a cluster headache really isn't known, except what we're learning is that the cluster headache probably has to do with the chemistry of the body and the way that the stress changes the chemistry of the body. There's also what we're learning is that it isn't unusual for people to experience a cluster headache, that burning, piercing, before they'll actually go into a migraine. So it could be tied to that migraine headache as well, which is the next headache. And the migraine headache is the most oppressive and debilitating of all of the headaches. It's usually on one side of the head only. It's accompanied by nausea, vomiting, sometimes vision problems. And a lot of times it has to do with the cranial nerves, that cerebral spinal fluid, the head not being on straight, as I say, meaning that the head is cocked to one side. That can be one of the causes for the migraines as well. Also, there's a genetic factor tied to it. Food reactions. People who have food allergies have a higher predisposition for migraine headaches. Hormone imbalances. Women who tend to be estrogen dominant have a higher predisposition for migraine headaches. People who suffer from hypoglycemia or diabetes, also migraine headaches. pH imbalances. And then expanded blood vessels. Maybe it's a psychological part where they're feeling overloaded. But when it comes to the pH, and especially migraine headaches, one of the things that, again, we're learning, and this is something that allopathic medicine is trying to catch up on, is a lot of migraine headaches are the result of candida that has gone systemic, that not only is just settled into the sinus and maybe creating sinus infections or like a yeast breakout on the skin where there's a flakiness, but it can actually create a migraine headache. And unless that you know, connection can be made with the candida, and the diet can be changed in a way that it will restore the pH to the body, then the migraine headache can last for a longer period of time. And then also it can reoccur more frequently. So candida is something, if you have a predisposition for that and you find you have migraine headaches, then what you can do is you can look at going on a candida diet, and that will change a lot of the foods that you're able to eat. They're more complex carbohydrates. There's a lot more protein. Protein is what the brain needs. And then also, if you have any predisposition for food allergies, the candida diet can help with that also. Then we've got the sinus headache. This is one that we usually get when we get a sinus infection, or maybe we're having an allergic reaction to something that's happening outdoors. This is more triggered by an external type of a headache. And then what it can be is it's a dull headache that basically is right behind the eyes. It can also cause a pain in the cheeks and then the nasal area, and it can also cause your teeth to feel like they hurt. One of the causes of these we find are allergies. Again, these are airborne allergies more than anything else. And then also the common cold that plugs up the sinus cavity and fills it full of mucus and so forth. Then the last headache, and this is something that is really probably the most difficult for doctors to be able to work with, is something called the combination headache. And the combination headache is that dull, nagging, oppressive headache that begins in the morning and ends after a short duration, and then all of a sudden it seems to come back throughout the day. And it can feel like a simple headache or a tension headache, and then you can have the burning and the cluster headache symptomology. It may or may not go into a migraine in this combination, but the thing that triggers this combination headache, and when we, and especially women, we have a higher predisposition to the combination headache, is when it's around our hormonal cycle. It's real around our menses, and specifically around when we're ovulating, and that usually occurs with anywhere from 7 to maybe 15 days after you end your menses, the bleeding cycle itself. So it's something to be able to look at. Also, the combination headaches can be tied to medication. They can be a side effect of medication. And one of the medications that tends to have a higher predisposition to create a combination headache is anything that has a steroid base. That could be prednisone. And then also sometimes people will get it when they've been taking antibiotics. All of the headaches that I talked about, while they're certainly debilitating and, you know, can be an issue, meaning that they can distract you from what you're having to do, rarely will any of these headaches have any kind of really long-term or chronic or life-threatening impact on your life. Now, migraines are one of the few headaches that can turn into a chronic process. And then it is important when you look at a migraine to look at it from food allergies and look at it from candida, and then also see if there's a pattern. Maybe you have a higher predisposition when you're ovulating and your estrogen is flowing in more abundance. Some people may have it when the progesterone is flowing prior to the menses, the bleeding cycle stopping. So there's some things for you that you can actually put on a calendar and you can map. And then, of course, with the when it comes in with the simple headache, then you may find a lot of times people who have arthritis that are kind of like this barometer that there's going to be a storm coming in or a change of weather. Then also you can use that simple headache to get a sense of what's going on from a barometric pressure, because the simple headache and even the combination can be tied to barometric pressure changes. But again, rarely will they be life-threatening. The only time that any doctor will say to you that you really need to be concerned about a headache is if it comes on suddenly and it's the worst headache that you've ever had in your life. that is the type of headache that it's important for you to seek medical attention immediately to be sure that we don't have an aneurysm or we don't have a clot or we don't have something else. So that's really what the doctor will say to you. And that's a way for you to know, is it something that you can manage or is it something that you've just really got to go ahead and act on immediately to be sure that we don't have anything else that is more serious that is going on. So I hope that that helps you. And if you are a sufferer of headaches, then that can get you in and kind of looking at, you know, the things that you can do. The first thing that I always suggest with a headache is, again, putting yourself on a calendar, seeing if there's any kind of patterns. Also, if you have a tendency for food allergies or you know that you have food allergies, see if you can match those to the foods that you've eaten. Sometimes it's the food combining, but there will be, in all of the headaches that I talked about, there will be specific patterns and specific triggers. And I'm going to talk more after the break about some of the psychological contributors behind it and a little bit more about how I see it as a medical intuitive. But I want to jump in right now, and I want to take the call from, hi, Sarah from New York, line one. Hi, Sarah.
Carol, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure, hon. How can I help you?
Well, I've been experiencing intense headaches. I would say within the past year, they've developed more intense, and they come around frequently during the month. Now, the doctor, I did see my doctor, and as stated before, they didn't find anything, and he said maybe it has something to do with a sinus infection that I had, and sent me to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and nothing in particular stood out. They took allergy tests. I wasn't allergic to anything, but I'm still experiencing these headaches, and I wanted to know if you can give me a read on where this might be stemming from.
Okay. Actually, your headaches are twofold. The first part of it is that when you get the sinus infections that you do, that's actually candida, sweetie. And what happens with candida is that it goes systemic. So let me tell you what that means. Is the first thing that you may notice is there'll be a little bloating in your tummy area. And then what you'll notice is maybe you're getting a metallic taste in your mouth, or it feels like maybe you need mouthwash, or you might experience some kind of a bacterial build up on the tongue itself or the gums itself. And what you'll do is you'll feel like you've got bad breath. So you may want to go in and, you know, scrape the tongue or do the things. That's candida, honey. Okay. Your candida doesn't go to full thrush, which can, you know, create that crustiness in the mouth and the lining of its, the lining of the mouth itself. But, and then what it'll do is then it goes systemic and it goes into the sinus area. If you could go in and start to monitor your diet, and the reason I say that is when you start into your menses cycle and the ovulation for time frame, you're getting cravings. I'm picking up that, you know, your energy drops and maybe you're pulling for things that'll give you that instant boost. Those are the things to eliminate and see what you can do that you can get the energy that you're looking for. Other than grabbing for something that's a simple carbohydrate that's going to give you whatever you need. The other thing is that one thing that would be really helpful for your gut is to get on some regimen of doing barley greens or doing wheatgrass or something like that, even if it's once a week. The chlorophyll is alkaline, and it's going to help balance the pH in your stomach. That'll help balance the pH in your gut. And then that will help you from the standpoint of candida. The headaches that you get actually two types of headaches that I'm picking up, is that one of them feels like a combination headache because there's so many different dynamics, whether it's your menses, whether it's the candida, the hormonal changes and so forth. Those are the headaches that seem to last a little longer. But I can go in, there's another part of the headache that comes in that seems to be the one that's more of a tension headache. And because they're combination, they're kind of hard to diagnose. But here's where that one is. When you sit, honey, the chair that you're sitting in at work, it feels like, or and that's where you spend a lot of your time. Wherever you're sitting, your bottom is falling low on the right side and your left side is lifting up and it's cocking your spine. And then your neck and your head is trying to get your shoulders back straight. So if you could pay attention to how you sit in the chair and see, do you drop that right hip or do you tuck your right foot under the chair and extend your, your left foot and extend your right foot? Look at some ergonomics there because
yeah,
I think that's what's causing it.
I do.
Yeah, and then what it does is it causes the sacroiliac joint to have to lift up, that head to lift up, and then the upper spine goes, oh, well, then if I, you know, follow that, then my head is going to droop to the right, and then that's not going to be good because then I'm going to get a sore neck, so then the muscles start pulling back. So there's an ergonomic issue with it as well. And it isn't so much when you're walking and standing tall. It has more to do with when you're sitting. It may be that this is a pattern that you have when you sit, whether it's in the car, you sit at a computer, or you sit at whatever you're doing, or you're sitting to watch TV. And one of the ways to be able to work with that is when you sit down, put your both feet flat on the floor or get one of those little helpers that, as I call them, that you can put underneath a desk or something, or that you can put your feet on.
Yeah, I actually have one.
Good.
I don't use it, but I have one.
Okay. Well, and if you'll pull it out, and again, just kind of test it when you start feeling you're dropping down. Test it and see, you know, does it have to be at a slight curve? I mean, elevation, does it need to be flat? But from your waist to your feet, you're very short.
Yeah.
And then from your waist up, you're tall. And so that tall part of you is always trying to right that lower part of you. So you might look at that. And then also, hon, when was the last time you had a massage?
Well, I get 15-minute massages every week.
Okay.
But I had one last Friday.
Okay.
But they're acupressure, so they're not.
Yeah, they're not really a massage. So they're very good for you. They will help your body as far as getting your chi flowing. That's important. And then being able to work with the meridians and kind of that vascular autonomic system, that'll take some of the vascular part of the headache away. But one of the things it feels like, boy, it just, you know, if you could go in and just, you don't need somebody that's going to beat the daylights out of you. But somebody that'll just knead your muscles and get some of the toxins and get some of those knots that I'm picking up in your shoulders out, you're going to find that your headaches are going to change. Now, the candida part may still be there, but if you can get comfortable in your spine and your skin, then the candida part, you can treat it in a different way. And then what you'll be able to do is, my sense is, other than once in a rare time with your menses, you ought to be able to get rid of the headaches completely, honey.
I hope so. I mean, I know I'm on the birth control pill, and my doctor has changed it various times because she felt this was contributing to the headache.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't improved. And, you know, we've changed it probably, this is the third time, but it's always more intense right before my menses.
It is. And see, again, the thing is that what you're doing is you're trying different types of pill, and she's certainly working with you to try to find the right dosage. But the thing is that my sense is it may even be some of the changes of the pill itself that could be causing the candida. So see if you can just spend some time and see if you can connect some dots with it. Because
would herpes in any way contribute to candida or make it worse?
Well, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If you have the herpes, it's a simplex, but it can go into a zoster. Is that the herpes, genital herpes, is a combination of both simplex and the zoster. Those things can certainly trigger. But everything that I'm hearing, sweetie, whether it's working with your estrogen and menses and the herpes and everything else, the herpes cannot survive in an alkaline body. They can only survive in an acidic body.
Okay.
Candida cannot survive in an alkaline body, only in an acidic body. That's where the greens are so important. And that's where, you know, trying to really go in and do some research. There's a lot of great books on acid alkaline diets, and just look at all of them and create your own. You don't need to follow. You march to your own drummer. So I'm not going to go in and say, okay, well, I want you to take the book, Acid Alkaline Diet, Balancing Diet, and I want you to follow it, because it's important for you to find something that you can work with and you can live with. When you're in your menses cycle and when the pills are also acidic, you are going to create the perfect acidic storm for the candida to occur. So I don't know if it's, I really don't think it's so much the pills, but I would go in. Yeah, that's not true. I just got corrected. Your body goes, now, come on, Carol. That's not really just kind of the point. So it's talking to me. But what it is this last dosage of pills that you're on, this isn't helping you, honey.
It's not. Okay. Yeah. I've been on it for going on 3 months.
Yeah. This,
and
this
my body's not having a good reaction to that.
No, it isn't. And I started to say something, your body goes, zip it, Reitberger. That is not true. I need her to go and talk to her doctor about getting me off this pill.
Oh, I've been thinking about doing that too, getting off of it completely.
Well, see, you're really good. Well, I don't know about getting off of it completely.
But maybe there's a better alternative. I mean, a different pill that would work better with my body.
Exactly. Okay. And that's some things for you to certainly explore. So thanks, Sarah. I really appreciate
your
call.
Can you tell me, Carol, what color is my personality very quickly?
Did you do my assessment?
I have, and I got green, but I don't know. I don't think I'm
green. But you know what, sweetie? You are green, but you spend a lot of your life acting orange.
Okay.
Your people, your in your life, your family, your relationships, everybody wants you to be a caregiver. Everybody wants you to put their needs before their own. As a green, you're wonderful at doing that, but the green needs to play. The green's the cheerleader. You're not a bedpan changer.
Okay.
And so, you know, yes, you are green, but a lot of your life has to do with being that orange. The predisposition for candida is the orange personality.
Wow.
And when you go in and you go into that orange personality and you do it without not even knowing that you're doing it, and then you go to your menses, it's like, oh, we've got the perfect storm, sweetie, but you are a green.
Okay, great.
You are a beautiful, beautiful green. My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Take care, Carol.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to jump right into a commercial break right now. I'm going to be right back to talk more about headaches. And then I do have some callers, and I want to take them, and then I want to take some more calls. So please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Well, welcome back. I'm going to actually be taking more calls. So if you have a call for me about your health, you can call me at 877 877-230-3062. Let's do that again. 877-230-3062. My left brain must be over there in La La Land and everything. So, and I am going to be talking about the headaches a little bit more. But you heard me in the last segment, if you were still with me at that point in time, that I was actually talking personality color. Again, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, to be able to find out your personality color. And then if you really want to find out the depth of your color, and kind of like I talked to Sarah about, she's a green, but she copes as an orange. If you want to know more about that, then there's assessments in my book, What Colors Your Personality, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, Your Personality, Your Health, and then also Managing People, What Personality's Got to Do with It. The benefit of understanding the personality tied to headaches is anytime we step out of the neurology of our personality, we compromise ourselves chemically. We put ourselves in fight or flight. And a lot of the tension headaches and the simple headaches that we can get, or the combination headaches, have to do with the actual compromising our neurology and personality. So it is very helpful to be able to know what needs to be done and how to get yourself back into your true color. I find that headaches occur most often when someone's feeling mentally stuck or emotionally overwhelmed and they're struggling with a major decision. What this does is it really represents an imbalance between the way the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere of the brain are being able to talk to each other, and we're at odds with each other. Again, that's the importance of understanding your personality neurology. So when we get in and we're at odds with ourselves, one part of our brain doesn't want to talk to the other, which I think is kind of interesting, because I said I need my left brain back on the show here. My right brain's doing this intuitive work, but I need the words. What you heard was that you heard a process that I literally had to say to my left brain, come on, I need you to join the party, because I need to be able to move through in a way where I can find the words that I need and I don't go blah, 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 and all some of the other things that we do when we stumble. So when you go in and you get caught in that dichotomy about whether you're having the battle between head and heart, that battle creates chemical imbalance, and that can also be responsibility for headaches. And then also I find that when we get mentally overloaded, and Rebecca and I were talking in the commercial break, right now the universe, all we're doing is we're saying to the universe and to ourselves, you know, I think I'm going to tackle that one thing that maybe I've been procrastinating about, or it's the finally hit the top of the to-do list, or something intuitively told us we really need to focus on that. The minute we say that, it's kind of like our body, our soul connects with this higher consciousness and says, oh, by the way, why don't you add all these other things? It's a lot like the propositions that we vote for. We read what we're voting for, but underneath there's all these different hidden innuendos or these agendas and everything. So right now we are feeling literally, energetically, and mentally overloaded. The best way to be able to do that so you don't get a headache is to find one thing within your day that matches what you would like to change, and do just one thing a day. And what that'll do is it'll give you a sense of accomplishment. You'll be able to focus the way that you need. And then as a result, the chemistry won't change in the body, and you're not as prone to having those tension headaches. Also, I find that headaches always start, as I said, in the third chakra. The third chakra is really where our adrenals are, and that's where stress hits us first. Now, if you're green, that stress will match to your migrate up to your shoulders. If you're yellow, it'll stay in that gut area. If you're an orange, it'll go to the lower back. And if you're a red, that stress will show up in your lower back, your knees, your feet. But the bottom line of it is we feel stuck. And the metaphor of a headache is it's a struggle, but when the headache actually occurs and it doesn't go away, we're feeling stuck, energetically stuck. So those are some of the things that I find. And again, pH is very important. We really are designed to be alkaline. We're designed to be balanced, but most of the foods that we eat are actually acidic. The vegetables and the fruits that are really good for us, and a lot of the grains that are really good for us, are alkaline. Beans are alkaline. But what we do is we find ourselves going for a lot of meat, going for a lot of simple carbohydrates. All of those things are acidic. So pH is also very important. If I were to map a headache, as I do as a medical intuitive, starts in the third chakra in that stomach. It goes to the head or the sixth chakra. The way we see ourselves in our life shrinks, and then it maps to the first chakra, and then our behavior shrinks, and we basically pull in and go into protection, and then we go back to that third chakra, and we try to be able to feel good about ourselves when our head hurts. We can't see the bigger picture, and we can't seem to manifest in the physical world, so that's where we get at odds with ourselves. So that's some of the mapping that occurs. And that's the way that if you're looking at a headache, whether it's any of the six headaches, look at it starting in the third, going to the sixth. Of course, that'll be the symptomology in the head. But then also look at your behavior. Look at what you're able to actually produce. A migraine basically stops you in your tracks. While they hurt and they're uncomfortable, the advantage of them is they stop you in your tracks. And what I mean by that is that you won't be as inclined to move forward the same way you always have. You'll be inclined to move forward the way that you need to, or frankly, many times, just not move forward and enjoy the relaxation and giving your body the chance to chemically bring itself back into some kind of balance. There's a lot of alternative choices that we have around dealing with headaches: acupressure, acupuncture, aromatherapy, biofeedback, chiropractic, especially if we have any kind of muscle spinal implications behind it, cold compresses, cranial sacral therapy, very effective with any of the six different headaches that I talked about. There's different herbal remedies, homeopathy. Hydrotherapy is something that Edgar Cayce advocated for people specifically with migraines. There's a therapy called magnet therapy. I love massage. Meditation. Meditation works well for simple or tension headaches. When you start getting into the clusters and migraines, it doesn't seem to have as much impact. Look at nutrition, and then also look at some relaxation techniques. Another technique that is often overlooked as far as an alternative choice is reflexology. So those are some of the things that you can do to be able to work with your headaches and to see how you're going to be able to minimize the impact and shorten the cycle. That's the way I always talk about headaches. Okay, let's go to Nancy, line two. Hi, Nancy.
Thanks for this topic. And I'm learning so much.
Well, thank you, and thanks for calling me. I'm looking at my screen, and it says here, sweetie, you've had migraines all your life.
Yes, and I'm thinking they were the classic migraines when I was young, real young. But I think they've changed into combination headaches or combo headaches.
I agree with you totally. The migraine headache itself, in your particular case, is genetic. That's the predisposition. It's actually an imbalance in the neurotransmitters. It's the imbalance between serotonin, dopamine, melatonin, DHEA, and then also the adrenals and the elevated levels of cortisol. Those are the things, the neurotransmitter deficiencies is the genetic component of why you had them so young as a child, because there was no other reason at that point in time, frankly, when I touch you in your childhood, that you should have had them. So there is a genetic predisposition. Will that change? Probably not. But we do outgrow things, meaning that genetically it's still in your DNA that if the perfect storm between serotonin and dopamine, particularly those neurotransmitters, became out of balance, then there's the potential. But what I am picking up, and I agree with you completely, that what you're really experiencing is more of a combination of headaches. And that's why they have changed both in the nature and the length and in your ability to be able to deal with them. By having that awareness, then you can go in and look at some of these alternative modalities to be able to see which of those would work well for you. One that I pick up immediately is I would encourage you to look at cranial sacral therapy. And part of the reason for that is we have 12 cranial nerves. The 10th nerve is called the vagus nerve. That actually is a nerve that runs down the spine, comes out at the third chakra, and is directly tied to the activities of the stomach. That's what's causing your nausea now. Also, we have some chiropractic issues that are in your body. I've got a twist in your spine, in the thoracic spine, right below your shoulder blades. That, again, is that cranial sacral nerve. So the headaches that you're getting, while they may have some symptomology of the migraine, they're not where they were before, and they're not the same type of headache. So very intuitive of you. If I were to ask you, honey, to go in your body and go in specifically in the third chakra, and that's around personal power and it's around self-confidence, and I would ask you to look at your life and the role you've had to take in your life, you're going to see that you've never really been yourself.
That's right.
And
at this age, in menopause, I don't know who that is.
But you know what? The way I look at menopause, oh my gosh, what a great blessing. What do I mean by that? It's the first time you can say what you want, act the way you want, really not give a darn, because everybody's going to excuse any behavior as just being menopausal.
That's true.
So you do have a chance to be able to bring your true self forward, and then, you know, people just have to get over it.
But how do you find that true self?
Well, and that's where I think that you, this just fact intuitively that you're saying, you know, Carol, I don't think my headaches are the same way that what they were. You can go in and you can certainly do it by personality. I find the reason I'm such an advocate of personality, not so much the work that I do, because personality is neurology. You have specific ways to make decisions. Honey, you make decisions based on emotional judgments. They have to feel right, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you know what? Every time you compromise that, you're a headache waiting to happen.
Yep. Okay.
Every time you keep that important part of what you have to say inside, kind of like a hairball, it needs to get up, honey.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one step at a time. The first thing is to find a way that you can look at yourself and the uniqueness of who you are, and you can learn to accept that self. And in accepting, you're going to go in and you'll love yourself. And that is the most important thing, because then you're not going to go against your neurology. Now you're not going to have those chemical changes. Now that genetic predisposition isn't going to be triggered the way that it always has been. And you know what? I say this with great love and no judgment, but oh my gosh, you know, sweetie, you're not your mother. You're not a mini version of your mother. Your mother has a lot of wonderful qualities about her. She's a very kind person. She does a lot of good, but you're not your mother. She wanted you to become like her because she needed a buddy. You know, there's a lot of loneliness. She needed a good friend. So you tried to become that good friend. You tried to be her. You tried to emulate her. That is a nice compliment to her. But now it's time for you to find your own self. You know, when I see you, you ought to be on Dancing on the Stars, hon. You know, you've got fluidness. You've got movement. You've got laughter. You've got joy. You've got determination. You just want, you know, you don't want to take the safe road anymore. You just want to go out and take risk. I've got a plaque in front of me right now that I'm going to share, and it's with all of the listeners. So here's kind of your mantra. Life's journey is not to arrive safely at the grave in a well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, totally worn out, shouting, "Holy smoke, what a ride." In those words, you're going to find yourself. In those words, you're going to find yourself. Again, you might want to go, if you don't have my book, you want the full assessment, you can do it that way, hayhouse.com or Amazon, or what you can do, go to my website and just get the first snippet of who you are and read that description and then find out more. And you're going to find that uniqueness of who you are that's always been just below the surface is going to come out, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And you've got a great excuse. I love that.
Thank you.
So
I have a quick one.
Mm-hmm.
My arms keep going numb, both of them. I don't have any heart problems, anything like that.
No, sweetie, that's the chiropractic part that I'm talking about. And that's why you're getting that tension headache. That's why you're thinking it's a combination. I would go in, and what you want to do is you want to find a chiropractor that does not snap the bones. Someone that can stretch it. They may do a little bit of, you know, dropping of the sacroiliac joint and so forth like that, but not cracking the neck. You don't want to do any of those things. You've got an old injury in the cervical part of the spine. So what you want to do is you don't want to create any tension there, but someone that will use an activator, someone that uses non-force chiropractic, that's going to help the numbness in your arms. They're all tied together, and you're absolutely right. You do not have heart issues. This is not MS. This is not Parkinson's. It's none of those things. We've just got compressed nerves that go to sleep.
Wonderful.
Thanks,
I love
Nancy.
You. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay, Bernadette from Canada, let's try to squeeze you in, sweetie. How are you?
Hey, good. Listen, I never had headaches until I was about, I'm going to say 30, and I'm 46 now. And they started then, and I get them again right before my period.
Right.
And sometimes they would start a week before and go, and medication used to take them away, and now it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I have them when it's not my period, and I have to look in my book and go, is it coming? Is it this?
Good girl. Hey, I love it being on a calendar. You know, it's so easy for us. Okay, so where you are is that if you look at your mother and kind of your genetics around your menses cycle, the reason that you're getting them the week before is we'll actually start, the estrogen starts decreasing, the progesterone starts increasing. My sense is, hon, that your headaches are directly tied to progesterone. It's not so much the estrogen of the ovulation, but the progesterone. And the progesterone is part of the menses that tells the menses the ovulation starts, we're getting ready to go into the bleeding. The progesterone comes in and says, okay, that's enough. You don't need to go for 28 days. You're only going to go for this long. It creates a sensitivity in the breast area. It can create fatigue. It can create headaches. And my sense is with your age, where you are, and the course of your time genetically around the menses cycle and everything, what you're looking at is you're looking at an overabundance of progesterone. And what you might, there's a couple things. You can go and talk to a naturopath. You can go and you could maybe go in and work with someone that does bioidentical hormones just to see what your options are.
Okay.
You're still not in the window where you need to do the bioidentical hormones, but it is something to look at the options. They may decide that putting you on a little bit of progesterone cream, or Progest it's called, could help you. Just be able to kind of tone that down. What they may do is they may put you on wild yam to be able to bring your estrogen up. But what you're doing is your hormones are in that natural cycle where they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with each other. Mm-hmm. But my sense is that the outcome of what you're dealing with now is the progesterone. And when I said putting you on progesterone cream, they would put you on it prior to the ovulation and prior to when, before you started feeling this headache and so forth, and they would try to stabilize that. But you could do that. You could even talk to a compound pharmacist if you have someone in your area that could give you an idea of maybe a different kind of practitioner that you could work with. And again, bioidentical, not so much needing the therapy part of it, but looking at what your options are. It is tied to specifically your progesterone flow, and that's what I'm picking up.
So is that a lack of progesterone or too much?
Right now you're having too much. You're getting power surges of progesterone.
Okay.
And so that's why they may want to increase the estrogen, or they may want to stabilize the progesterone by doing it more evenly. And then, but what your ovaries will do and the pituitary, they'll both read it like, oh, well, I've got plenty of it. So I don't need to go in and, you know, kick it in the bottom and whoop, let's amp that up. And, and that, you know, and again, that's a lot of the tenderness that you're feeling in your body. And it's a lot of, why the headache is staying as long as it is. When you get that, amping up the progesterone, it'd be like sticking your finger in a 220 light socket.
Yeah.
And then like everything just lights up. And then the pressure in the head, the pressure in the body feels, you know, heavy if you retain fluid. Mm-hmm. So there's some, there's a lot of physical things that are, also indicating that that's probably what we're working with. Now you could go to your regular doctor and you could ask your regular doctor to go in and to be able to see, ask them if they do a blood test to find out where your estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone levels are at this point in time and use that as a benchmark. Not all doctors will do that. A lot won't because it usually isn't paid for through insurance, but it is something, it gives you a baseline and then you can go from there.
Excellent. You don't have time for any other questions, do you?
One more quick one. I think I've got a couple more minutes. So let's see what we get.
Well, I've tried to get in another time. It's about my niece, and it's not about headaches. And I don't know if you can answer it because you're not talking to her. But she has been, she's gone for all the different, she's been trying to get pregnant for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And she's taken different hormones and done all those different things that, I don't know because I didn't have to go through all that.
Right.
But lots of different things in the last while. And she said, I'm not going to take any more hormones because it just is havoc with my
It does.
System.
It does.
So,
yeah.
So I wondered if you could tell what is wrong, why she can't get pregnant.
Oh, there's a couple of things. The first thing is that the eggs are more viable, meaning that they're more fertile on the right ovary than the left ovary. So if she would watch her cycles, then the left ovary, what she'd do is she'd get a lot more discomfort in her body on the left ovary than the right ovary. So that's one of the first things. So what she'd have to do is kind of keep track of the fact of when is she ovulating on her right side. And at the left ovary feels like there may have been some trauma. She may have hit it or injured or got hit in the side or maybe in the back, got stepped on or something. I'm picking up that there's an injury that is there. And I've got some, little bit of scar tissue or a distortion. Mm-hmm. The ovary itself doesn't look like it's abnormal. And I hate using those words. Excuse me for saying hate, but I hate using those words because I don't want to create concern. There's nothing wrong. It's just that the left ovary itself isn't one of those perfect little ovary shaped sacs the way that we look at it.
Okay.
It's got a little bit of indentation in it. That's probably the best way to say it. The other thing is, has she been checked for endometriosis or any kind of lesions with endometriosis that may be inhibiting the ovulation and the fertilization in the left ovary? That's a question to ask her. But the biggest question I have is that if her husband hasn't been checked, he needs to be checked. He does have a sperm count. It feels low.
Okay.
It feels like the sperm that is in the fluid itself is diminished in number. That could be from stress. It could be that there's something anatomically wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
She should be able to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Anatomically, she is well enough, healthy enough, normal enough to be able to get pregnant. So let's look beyond just the hormones to find out what is going on with it. And I mean, if I can just kind of using you as a surrogate with her, I can see her there. And she says, Carol, would you just check him out? You know, how's he doing? Well, he's doing really well, but he's really stressed right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, it's one of these things. Hey, listen, I'm fertile. Everything's good. It's time to go. And, you know, he's going to be the first one to accommodate that. But the bottom line of it is if we just don't have enough of those little swimmers to get to the eggs where it needs to and to be strong enough, then she can have everything in perfect order in her side, but it just doesn't happen. You know, there's something that I keep picking up. You know, it would be really good if they just decide to let go of all this baby business.
Yep. I agree.
And then you know what? They need to just go and they just need to snuggle and they need to love and they need to kiss and they need to do the things. They need to dream. Don't talk baby, but dream. Where do we want to go? What do we want to do? Just, you know, make love as often as possible. And you know what? I think that very shortly she's just going to end up getting pregnant.
Well, that's what I said, that she just needs to just have fun.
Yeah.
And just kind of relax. Just
Well, you know, and it's not even so much her. I just would like him to have fun and for him to be able to relax.
Okay.
You know, because he really has a marvelous, marvelous sense of humor.
Oh.
You know, he's just a real good, jovial guy.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, my God, he's so serious.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So anyway, so, you know, just a weekend, no worrying about babies mm-hmm. or anything else, and just go have fun, laugh, scratch, and giggle, and dream together.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to get her to listen to this in the archive so that, because I wanted to ask that for a while.
Well, very good. Well, that's why we snuck in a second one.
Well, thank you
everything.
So much.
It is my pleasure. Well,
okay.
I want to thank all of you for joining the show today and for coming in and being a part of it and helping me become better at who I am. It's always a pleasure to share my medical intuitive skills with you. Again, if you don't know your color, go to Reitberger.com. It's actually Reitberger.com. You can listen to this show in the archives on Contact Talk Radio. Thanks for spending your day with me. Have a happy, healthy, prosperous, purposeful day, and I'm going to be back to see you on the radio next week. Thanks. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.